I want to talk a little bit and study a little bit this morning about a topic that we often seem to be very confused about. I want to talk about talent versus obedience. If you want to turn to Matthew 25, that'll be primarily what we're looking at this morning. When we think about talent, we think about a special skill, and usually when people use the word talent, they mean that this is something that someone was just born with, that they're just able to do this thing because they're special in that way. And often someone who has a particular talent is envied by others who don't share that talent. They say, well, that person just was lucky that they are so talented in that area. I want to think about what talent is when it comes to our spiritual lives, when it comes to our religion, our Christianity. What does it mean to have a talent? And then we want to compare that with obedience. You know, sometimes when something that we read in the Scriptures that God commands us to do a particular thing, and we'll often make the excuse, or maybe we hear others make the excuse, well, that's just not one of my talents. Does God command us to do things that are things that we can't do? We sound like that's what we believe when we refuse to do something that He's commanded us to do, and the excuse that we use is, well, that's just not one of my talents. We basically are saying, I can't do what God said I should do. But God doesn't work that way. He has never commanded anyone to do something that can't be done. Now, will some things be easier for some than for others? Oh, yeah. Sure. Some people have some natural talents in some areas that make certain things easier for them. But that doesn't alleviate the person who doesn't have that talent from following the command. I think often about the two great musicians from history, Mozart and Beethoven. Mozart was a genius when it came to music. By the time he was 4, his father took him to a concert that was being performed by the king, and the king's musicians and the composers had created this piece of music, and it was the first time that piece of music had ever been played. And at the age of 4, Mozart, after hearing that piece played, played it. After hearing it one time. He often thought of himself as having a mind in which he stored his compositions, and he could mentally imagine pulling one out of a bag, working on little pieces of it, and then putting it back in the bag, and then pulling out another one, and putting it back in the bag when he was finished working on it. That's genius. That's talent. It's incredible. Beethoven, on the other hand, who is probably as well known as Mozart, and his music is great music as well. Some of you probably would recognize it if it was played. You may not even realize it was Beethoven, but even some of the jingles for common products today are little pieces of Beethoven's music that they use for the jingle. I think McDonald's used one of Beethoven's for some of their commercials. Beethoven was very different from Mozart. Beethoven, while he had a smidgen of musical talent. When it came to composing, he had to work hard at it. He often would play it and listen to it and think about it and play it again and listen again and play it again and listen again. And in fact, he changed his manuscripts of his musical compositions so many times that there were often holes in the paper in various places where he had erased and rewritten and erased it again and rewritten it again, smudged it out, and written another note because he was having to change it. Mozart's manuscripts are perfect. I mean, they're flawless because he had already composed it in his head before he wrote it on paper. But Beethoven couldn't do that. Does that mean Beethoven wasn't a good composer? Oh, he was a good composer. But he had to work a lot harder at it to perform the same function. The same thing is true in Christianity. There are some who will not struggle with certain temptations and sins. It won't be hard for them. While others have to work diligently every day not to be overcome by that particular sin. There are certain commands, like the command to sing, that some who have a musical ability like Mozart had, well, they may have a wonderful voice, and they may have a perfect pitch hearing, and they may be able to know exactly how to sing a song. And they may be able to do it just so easy. But someone else may be tone deaf. And it may be a real struggle for them to sing. But they still can. And to say, well, I'm not a talented singer. God didn't ask for talented singers. He commanded us all to sing. Now, those who are talented many times suffer worse than those of us who are not talented because they have to listen to those of us who aren't talented. God loves it, but those poor people who are talented, well, I feel sorry for them. They have to listen to the rest of us sing. They know what the music that we sing is supposed to sound like, and they know what it sounds like when we sing it. But that's part of their struggles that they have to deal with. It's harder for us to learn how to sing. It's harder for them to have patience and put up with us trying to sing. We all have different struggles. There are some things that cannot be done without talent. There are. Now, there are just some things in this life that some people, because they don't have a particular talent, cannot do. It's impossible for them. Someone who can't walk certainly can't run a marathon. That's impossible. Someone who was born with some particular congenital disease, it may limit certain things that they're able to do. Someone, we mentioned earlier, someone who was tone deaf will never be able to sing perfectly on key. They just won't because they can't hear what it sounds like. Now, they might be able to play an instrument perfectly. They could play, you know, the right notes on a piano. They can do that by looking at the book and using it. But they don't have to hear it. In fact, we spoke of Beethoven earlier. Beethoven, by the time he wrote his Ninth Symphony, he was deaf. He never heard it played, except in his own head, what he could imagine it would have sounded like. So there are some things that you don't have to be able to, but there are other things you have to just be able to do it. No man will ever be able to give birth to a child. Just can't do it. Takes a certain talent. You got to be born a woman to be able to even have a chance of getting to do that. And of course, they probably complain, say, what do you mean, get a chance to do that? You mean, we have to do that. But we suffered through that. But the fact of the matter is there are some things that cannot be done without talent. But does God demand for us to do something that cannot be done? The second thing that I want to notice is that we can develop new skills. See, sometimes we confuse a skill with a talent. A talent is something that just comes natural to somebody. But a skill is something that can be developed. And it can become a talent of sorts. Because we can become very skillful in a particular area to the point that others look at us and say, "Wow, look at that talent." When someone works diligently at athletics, and they work every day, they train for hours a day to be able to achieve a goal, to make it to the Olympics or to make it to some professional sports league. When they make it there, most of us who never put any effort into trying to become those things look at them and say, "Wow, look at the talent they've got." Now, it's certainly true that some people do have more natural athletic ability than others. But there are many who have made it to great heights in athletics who weren't born that way. They had to work and develop the skill to get there. When we look at someone like a doctor or a lawyer who spent years in school to become a doctor or a lawyer. And sometimes we just, "Well, they get all the money." Well, of course they get all the money. They put all the work into it to get the skills to do that. To work hard to become those things so that they could get all that money. But we can develop new skills, and in the spiritual realm, we must. When we are born again, when we become a Christian, we're not born spiritually with all of the skills that we need. We're not born into the family of God already able to do everything. We don't know everything. We don't even know everything we're supposed to be and do at that point. We are a newborn babe. And we've got a lot of growing to do. But imagine in the physical world, if a child got up to about 4 or 5 years old and said, "You know what? I've grown enough. I don't really want to grow anymore. This is good enough for me. I'll just stay this size. I'm not going to learn anything more. I know enough. This is where I'm going to stay the rest of my life." Well, that's ridiculous. We would say, what's wrong with this child thinking that way? Don't they want to grow up? Don't they want to learn all the more things that are out there to learn? And yet, spiritually, that's exactly what some of us do. We grow to a certain point, and then we stop right there. And we say, "I know enough. I've grown enough. I've got enough talent and enough skill, and this is it. This is where I'm going to stop, and this is where I'm going to live the rest of my life as a Christian." That's foreign to the Bible in terms of what we should do. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14, the man calls his servants in. He gives one 5 talents, he gives another 2 talents, and the third he gives 1 talent. And this talent is not, this is talents of money. This is the amount of money that he gives them. But notice in verse 15, it says that he gave, the amount of money that he gave to each one, he gave according to each one's ability. King James says, according to their several abilities, according to their separate abilities. So he looks at this fellow and he knows what this fellow's skills are and his abilities are. And he gives him five. And he looks at this fellow over here and he knows what this fellow's skills and abilities are. And so he gives him two. And then he looks at this other fellow and he knows that he's not as skillful or as able as the other two. He gives him one. This wasn't a judgment. Perhaps the one that got five had been a servant for more years and had grown in trust with his master from experience. Maybe the one that he only gave one to was brand new. Or maybe he was a young fellow who had just started working for him. And he knew he didn't have the experience. So he only gave him one to start with. And so then he goes away. And while he's gone, the one that had the five talents, well, he knew what his master wanted him to do. He went out and through his skill and his ability, he doubled it. The one that had two, same thing. He went out and he doubled it. Now notice, the one that had two didn't get five more. He only got two more. The one that got one, his master expected of him. He didn't expect him to get five more. Never expected that. He didn't expect him to get two more. Never expected that. But he did expect him to do something with that talent he got and increase it. In fact, when the master comes back, then, and he sees the one now has 10 and the other one has 4, and then he sees the one that just buried it, gave it back. He said, you could have at least put it in the bank and gotten some interest on it. You could have at least done that. At least done something. But sometimes we have the attitude of that one talent man. Sometimes we take what we started with when we became Christians and we say, well, I got this talent and I got that talent and that's enough. I'll just stop right there. God's going to be displeased with us. He gives us the starting point, but that's not the finish line. That's the beginning point, what He gives us. Then with what He's given us, the talent that He's given us, the abilities that we have, that we bring to the game when we show up, then we've got to work on that and develop that and gain new abilities and new skills and new talents so that we can increase our value to Him. We need to understand the third thing that we look at here, refusing to grow and develop. That's really what this one talent man did. He just refused to grow. He refused to develop. He refused to try. Didn't want to work at it. He figured his natural talent that earned him the first one talent, he figured that was good enough. I don't need to do any better than that. But to refusing to grow and develop new talents is... There are several times in the New Testament that we are commanded by God to grow. We're commanded to grow. And we asked earlier, will God ever command us to do something that we can't do? Never will. Well, if He commands us to grow, then it is possible for us to grow. And we need to learn how to do that. And I have two number threes on here for some reason. I don't know how to use Roman numerals, I guess. Maybe I can grow and develop that skill. But the second number three, which should be number four, obedience does not demand talent. Now again, when we say talent, though, we're talking about that just natural ability that we were born with. Obedience may require hard work. It may require growth. It may require study and discipline. And it may not be easy, but it doesn't demand talent. Because if obedience demanded talent, then those who were untalented would just be out of luck. They couldn't obey God. And therefore, they would never be able to please Him, and they'd be lost. But we don't serve a cruel God like that. We serve a God who does give us commands, but they are commands that we can obey. We can grow to obey some of them that we may not have been able to obey when we first started. The Hebrew writer talks to the church and the Christians there, and he says, "For by the time ye ought to have been teachers." And when he says that phrase, "by the time ye ought to have been teachers," he lets us know that that doesn't mean every brand new Christian is ready to be a teacher already. But he does let us know that there does come a time where you ought to have grown and learned and matured enough that you can be a teacher. And there are lots of different kinds of teachers. A preacher is a teacher. The man who stands, as Alex will in a little while, before the adult class is a teacher. The ladies who teach the children in Bible classes are teachers. The mothers who teach their children how to learn to obey God are teachers. The individual who talks with a neighbor or a friend about the Scriptures and about God and about Christianity is also a teacher. There are lots of different areas where we can use that teaching ability. And we don't all have to be the one that stands up in front to teach. We can be lots of different kinds of teachers and still be teachers. He didn't say every one of you ought to be the preacher. He said, but everyone ought to get to the point where they can be a teacher. And obeying God, well, teaching's just not my talent. Teaching's not a talent. It's a skill. And any skill can be developed. Then the one that's marked number 4, but should be number 5, lack of talent is no excuse for disobedience. We use it. We say, well, I can't sing. That's a lie. We may not want to sing. We may not be able to sing well according to human musical standards. But God does not judge us according to human standards. God didn't say, I only want people who can sing and sound good to sing. Now in the Old Testament things were different. In the Old Testament there was a specific group who were the singers. And David wrote several psalms for that group of people who were the singers. They basically had a choir under the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, in the temple worship. That's what they had their choir. They had their musicians and their singers. And other people didn't do that. If you weren't from that family, there's, I guess, kind of a talent-type situation. Certain groups of people that had that talent, and it was a genetic thing, I guess, because it was passed down. That tribe, that family, passed down from generation to generation. They were the singers. But not anymore. Now God says that all of us are to sing. Singing to one another. And so we can do that. Now, are some going to sing prettier to our human ears than others? Yes. Are there some people who it may be, yeah. Some of us are going to be that way too. We're going to drive other people crazy. But we're not here to please other people. We're here to please God and obey Him. And He commanded it. So just because I don't have a talent, well, my talent is not in that area. I have a talent over in this other area. That doesn't mean you can't gain a skill and develop an ability in that other area. We need to work and develop ourselves. Too many times, we are just happy to be complacent and say, I've done enough. And the Bible very clearly teaches us that when we've done everything that's commanded us, we're still not profitable servants to God. Doesn't matter how much we do, we can never do enough for Jesus who died for us. How could we ever do enough? So we need to stop that attitude and realize how important it is. You know, in our secular world, in our secular jobs, we find that, you know, we develop a new skill or are able to do a new thing, we can get a raise, we can get a promotion, and we think that's great, and we'll work it. Oh yeah, I can do that, it's going to get me a raise. I learned how to do that, I'll get more money if I do that. I'll go get that job over there if I just go back to school and learn this, and then I can make more money. And people do that all the time. But when it comes to Christianity, well, I know enough. That's all I need to know. I enough to get by. We won't get by with that attitude. That's the one talent man attitude. Yeah, I got my one talent. That's good enough. When the boss comes back, I'll show him that one talent that I got. If you don't use it, you lose it. Now, in fact, number five, that I've become six. Obedience demands willingness. See, that's what God demands of us. He doesn't demand talent. He doesn't demand that when we become a Christian, we have this skill and that skill and on and on. No. When we become Christians, we may have no skill at all. We may not know anything about being a Christian. We may not know much of anything about living a godly life. We're just getting started. We're like babes. But we can grow and we can develop. We can learn. And as we do that, if we're willing to do that, then we can become what God wants us to be. If you're here this morning and you've had that attitude, well, I'll just do enough to get by. Well, I know enough. Well, that's just not my talent. If God has commanded it, even if you weren't skillful in that area, you better learn how to do it. Now, we may never reach perfection, and other people may be better than us at certain things. Sure. But we have to understand that we cannot just sit and coast. Christian life is like trying to ride a bicycle uphill. If you stop pedaling, you're going to go back downhill. There's no coasting. There's no, well, I'll just take a rest. It's constant, day in, day out. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Every day we need to be working to gain something. It may be a little bit of knowledge. It may be we work on a skill. It may be that we help someone else develop their skill in an area. There are lots of things that we can be doing, but we need to be working and growing constantly. Because when we stop growing, we begin to rot. That's all there is to it. If you're here and you have not been growing as you should, you need to make the determination today that you're going to start growing again. There is no status quo in the Lord's church. There is no retirement here on this earth. We keep going, we keep growing. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can become one this morning and start that process of growth by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. Then you can begin to walk that new life and start to develop those talents and skills and abilities that He wants you to obey Him. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you would come as we stand and as we sing.